When you talk about body as another criterion, I assume you mean body movement, gestures, and everything else. What do you think about preaching without the pulpit, walking around?
I really don't recommend that. I think the pulpit is an appropriate symbol of the office of the ministry. In other words, God does not call a man as pastor just to be everybody's buddy, to be everybody's friend, to come out and stroll the way you would with someone in another profession. God called a pastor to be his spokesman. And certainly this is adiaphora. A person can choose to preach outside the pulpit if he wishes. But I think actually the pulpit helps to reinforce the fact that he is God's spokesman in this place, called for that very holy office. At the same time, I do encourage students to do a lot of things to be visual, and that does include a significant amount of movement within the area of the pulpit. It's, I think, quite important to give your hearers as much visual cueing and as much visual stimulation as you can, for, among other reasons, simply to keep their attention, but also to help drive home the kinds of points that you want to make. Once again, the real key to body movement in preaching is that idea of thinking in thoughts. We all know how poor it looks if someone tries to script his gestures and how very plastic and artificial that appears. On the other hand, when our heads are in the game, when we're thinking the thoughts, when we understand what we're saying, it will very naturally drive all of the things that we do also with our bodies. For example, if a preacher reaches a point in the sermon where the moment is a very intimate moment with his congregation, where he's sharing with them a very intimate aspect of the gospel, it quite naturally leads him to move forward and to engage them physically. If, on the other hand, it's an element of law that expresses God's disgust with sin, it might cause the preacher to step back, as if to be almost aloof and distant. Points that are powerful, those points in application and perhaps illustration that can be elements for oratorical moments, for example, can also cause the body to tighten up, the muscles tense as an important point is being delivered. That doesn't happen mechanically. That's not something you script. That's something that happens because you consider what you're saying at this moment. And of course, there are so many smaller, more subtle movements that just happen also as a preacher is thinking in thoughts. To watch a preacher, and it wouldn't hurt to do this on videotape for yourself, and consider how significant can be the tiniest movement of the fingers, the tiniest lifting of the hand that adds a dimension to the hearer, a visual dimension that does truly enhance his hearing and his understanding. I do have a couple of suggestions that are fairly tangible and perhaps easily incorporated for preachers as they're developing their experience in their free body movements. One is to suggest an at-rest position of the hands that would be free of the pulpit. For many young preachers, the natural inclination is to step into the pulpit, hands on the missal stand, and sometimes to grip it rather intensely. When that's happening, it's going to be very difficult for the body to do the things naturally that it would do driven by the thoughts. On the other hand, if the hands are up, if they're free, then quite naturally they move as the thoughts would indicate, as the thoughts would motivate. It's not to say, of course, that an at-rest position down in the pulpit cannot also yield itself to some very nice free movement. And for many preachers, that can work out quite well. But if a preacher is having problems being free and natural in his movement, I suggest that at-rest position when his hands are up, off the pulpit, elbows bent, forearms about parallel to the ground, and just see what happens. Another suggestion that I have for men as they're developing their body movement in preaching is to consider their feet. Now, we've all probably seen preachers or other speakers who sway from side to side, shifting their knees, shifting the weight from one leg to the other, in such a way that sometimes it actually becomes quite distracting, a rhythmic kind of swaying that can cause the viewers and the hearers to begin to predict which way he's going to go next and when he's going to shift. What's happening, of course, is that the preacher isn't moving his feet. On the other hand, people also sometimes stand in the pulpit with their feet quite set and stand quite erect, which can also be possible and does not always cripple the movement of the sermon. But it doesn't free up as much movement as if a preacher feels free to move his feet. One of the nice things about working with your feet in preaching is that it is something that you can simply tell yourself you're going to do much more comfortably than you can with your hands. All of the things that happen with our upper body, with our hands, with our head, with our shoulders, are so visible that to try to script them almost always looks artificial. But the feet, because they're not nearly as visible, actually can, to an extent, be scripted if a preacher is learning to move more freely in the pulpit. For example, a pastor might decide that at the end of a particular paragraph, that is, at the closure of a particular thought block, he would like to move to a new position. And he can do that, if he would like, simply by marking on his manuscript a little arrow that points out to the left if, at the end of that paragraph, he would like to take a step to the left. Now, to move your feet in this way actually serves a lot of purposes that might be well worth the investment. For example, when a person moves his feet, the first thing that has to happen is that his hands must also go with him. If an inexperienced preacher is having difficulty getting away from that kind of stilted and stiff position, hands on pulpit, to simply take a step to one side or the other forces the hands to come along with him. Another advantage of moving the feet is that any kinetic activity of the body can actually also animate the voice. If a person is very stiff physically, it's much more likely that his voice will become monotonic. He will fall into the kind of monotone that becomes very, very difficult for a congregation to follow for very long. It really is true that if more activity is happening physically, ordinarily the body also will begin to modulate up and down more naturally. There will be more variation of voice, and that can be helpful as well. Another real benefit to simply moving the feet is that it can create an additional intimacy with a certain segment of the congregation. For example, if I'm working primarily here, in the middle of the pulpit behind the missal stand, to take one step to my left suddenly makes an entire portion of the sanctuary, perhaps a third or even a half of the sanctuary, feel as if I've walked right up to them to speak. And of course, one would want to be able to do that in both directions. And yet, another advantage of moving one's feet is that it can be very helpful in visually signposting for your hearers progress that you're making in your thinking. If your hearers are forced to digest an entire 15 to 20 minutes with you standing in the very same position, then it becomes much more likely that they will also begin to understand the sermon as one monolithic thought which requires their unbroken attention for the full 15 to 20 minutes, lest they should miss the thought progression. That's really very tough. On the other hand, if your hearers are able to sense during those 15 to 20 minutes that there are actually much shorter thought blocks of 30 seconds or a minute or 2 minutes that they can hear, understand, absorb, assimilate, and reload in readiness for the next thought block, they will be able to ride along for the entire duration of the 15 to 20 minutes much more comfortably. Imagine how much help the visual dimension can be in that aspect. If, for example, you've come to closure on a particular thought and then take a step, it can open up a whole new possibility for the hearers. Let's say I step over here now, completing a thought, taking a step, and beginning a new segment. It really has visually signposted for the hearers that we have completed something, they have accomplished a task, and now they're ready for more. In other words, all of these different dimensions that are aspects of movement of the body can also do a great deal to enhance the message itself. And all of them, as I said, are driven by the message, that is, by the preacher thinking in thoughts.